In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. In the past, I have focused on the reading from St. Mark's Gospel, our Lord telling anyone who would come after him to deny himself, to disown himself, and to take up his cross and truly become one united with him. Today I want to focus on St. Paul's reading, the reading from Galatians. And this morning's reading is extremely rich in language. It is extremely rich in interpretational challenges. It is extremely rich in offering us light and life and grace. First of all, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, actually before, first of all, to appreciate what we have heard from the letter to Galatians, we have to try to the best of our ability to think like St. Paul. We have heard the words of a particular apostle. We have heard the words of an apostle who is commissioned to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. And in speaking to the Galatians, he is speaking primarily, but not just solely, primarily to Galatians, to Gentiles who have become Christians and who are being influenced by Judaizers. Who are Judaizers?
Those who thought Christians needed to follow the law in order.
Those Jews who became Christians and continued to follow the law, not only continued to follow the law, but insisted that in order to be a disciple of Christ, one had to follow the law. What St. Paul is saying throughout this letter to the people of Galatia is that there are two paths to follow: the path of slavery and the path of freedom. The path of slavery is precisely the path one traverses when following the law. Now, this is the first challenge we have to deal with. How is it possible to follow the law and to be a slave? How is it possible to follow the law, the Torah, and to be a sinner? By the way, there is some humor in the very beginning of this morning's reading. St. Paul says, "We ourselves who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ." He refers to the Gentiles as sinners, but if we pay careful attention to this morning's reading, who else is in that category?
We are.
Yes, but in the context of this letter, who else is in that category?
Those who follow the law.
This is the irony. Those who follow the law. So the question is, how is that possible? How is that possible? "For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God." What does St. Paul say here about the law? It's been superseded, yes. But before we get to that point, it's a very important point. What does he say about the law? Yes, it has been superseded, but what about the very essence of the law? We can use that word. The core of the law. What does he say?
But the law is this thing unto itself.
The law
is the thing unto itself.
It's a thing unto itself. But even St. Paul goes more deeply.
It's a means to an end.
It's a means to an end. He goes more deeply. What is the fruit of the law?
Jesus Christ's death.
Sin.
Who's sin? Death. Why is it death?
Because we trust
God. It's not possible to keep it.
It is not possible to keep it in its entirety, but what else? What does the law do?
Condemn people.
It restrains us.
To restrain, what else does it? It condemns. It oppresses. It ultimately results in death. It is unable to give life. For I, through the law is killing. I, through the law, died to the law. It is the law that puts me, says St. Paul, to death. And yet, in that death, what does St. Paul discover? Christ. Christ. Dying to the law, St. Paul dies to slavery. Slavery to what?
Sin.
Sin.
And ultimately,
death.
Slavery binds us to sin and death. I have died to the law. The law itself has killed me. But in this death, I have discovered Christ. But Christ, who lives in me, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In dying to the law, St. Paul finds life in Christ. But how does he find this life in Christ? Again, see, I have the advantage, I have the text in front of me.
He's crucified with Christ.
He's crucified with Christ. We celebrate today the Sunday after the elevation of the cross, and therefore we have this reading. St. Paul finds his life in another death, the death of Christ. And with that death, St. Paul finds his new life by grafting himself onto this death. How do we know he has grafted himself onto this death? Somebody? Well, if, based on the text.
He says, I've been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ. With. Important preposition. With. With Christ. And I also have the advantage of having the Greek text in front of me. Being crucified with Christ is in the perfect tense. How does the perfect tense work?
Done
once and for all. That is, Christ's crucifixion is done once and for all. But I have been crucified with Christ. What does it do? How does it work with St. Paul?
He has died to his old life.
That this death of Christ, which has occurred once and for all, is something he has been grafted onto. And therefore, yes, I have been crucified in my, we can say, most likely in his baptism, in becoming a disciple of Christ, and ultimately an apostle of Christ. Yes, he has died with Christ in the past. But what about his crucifixion? How does the perfect tense work?
A past act with a present effect.
That's right. It is something regarding Paul that has occurred in the past and continues. NOW. something that occurs in the past and continues now for St. Paul. By the way, this applies to us. This is why we have to think like St. Paul. All of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized, as he says in the letter to the Romans, have been baptized into his death and resurrection. All of us who have been baptized into Christ, as he says in this letter, have put on Christ. We have put on his crucifixion. We have become one with his crucifixion, which continues throughout our life. And St. Paul, of course, is the model of that ongoing crucifixion. Betrayal, beating, imprisonment, being shipwrecked, being an outcast of his own people. All of this points to the ongoing crucifixion of the Apostle Paul. Now for us, if we are to deny ourselves, to disown ourselves, we have to be like St. Paul. We have to be a people who have turned from the old life. The old life, no matter how, by the way, no matter how moral or ethical, bears only the fruit, according to St. Paul, of death. We are called to turn from the old life and to draw near into that new life. And the paradox, the irony of drawing near and entering into and becoming part of that new life is that you have to undergo death. Death to the self, death to the past. Now all of us who've been baptized into Christ, whether as infants or adults, know that after the exorcisms, there is a series of questions. Does anyone remember what those questions are?
Do you unite yourself to Christ?
Before uniting ourselves to Christ.
Do you renounce
Satan and all his aims, and all his works, all his pride? And the response, whether through God parents or ourselves, is I do renounce. Then there's a series of questions. Do you unite yourself to Christ? Keep in mind how serious these questions are. Unfortunately, often they are reduced to a formality. They are hardly a formality. They are, without any exaggeration, these are words of life and death. These are words that indeed define who we are. We have broken away from that old life, the old life that is wedded to sin, that is wedded to death. And by the way, this is the law. The law cannot give new life. The law cannot save. Only Christ can save. And how do we know that? Based on this morning's gospel. Based on the gospel and this letter to Galatians. Anyway, this is your chance. Really, this is your chance. We're taking the cross in at the end of liturgy, so this is your chance to make an answer.
Paul says, Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me. What else can we say? How do we know? Based on Christ lives in me, and therefore, again, see, I have the advantage, I have the Greek text. Eidotes, those who know Greek, we know. It doesn't say ginoskomen. It says eidotes. We know. It is an affirmation in the context of this letter that cannot be contradicted. And anyone, whether the person is a Gentile or a Judaizer or a Gentile who has fallen into the trap of the Judaizers, anyone who contradicts the gospel that Paul offers is contradicting the person of Christ and his death on the cross. And how do we know that? We know that because if indeed life and light came from the law, then why does Christ come into the world? Why does Christ ascend the cross? Why does Christ die? And why is he buried? All of that is for nothing. Christ comes into the world to die, to give himself up, to disown himself, so that we might have new and eternal life through the cross, through his death, through his resurrection. And therefore, as Christians, this new life has to be sustained. It has to be nurtured. And how is it to be sustained and nurtured? By a constant, by a daily. St. Luke says, take up the cross daily, as our Lord said, take up your cross daily if you're to be my disciple and follow me. To take up the cross daily is precisely to be in that tension between the old life and the new life. And if that tension is gone, then we have to ask ourselves, how sincere, how faithful a disciple am I in relationship to the word of the cross? If there is no tension, the word of the cross has lost its edge. If there is no tension, no struggle, the word of the cross is reduced to sound, to noise. On the contrary, we hear these words. Today, we hear this word, the silent word that comes from the cross itself. And that word calls us and beckons us to this new life, this glorious life that only the crucified Christ can give us. It is Christ, we can say at the end of this morning's reading from Galatians, that Christ himself, and I've mentioned this before, is the new Torah. In other terms, if we accept the cross, does this allow us to be lawless, brotherless? There are two answers, yes or no, so you better answer.
No.
No. Why?
Christ is our brother.
Christ is our brother. Christ is our life. But for that to be real, in order for our faith to transcend the law, in order for our faith to be a faith sustained by the law of the Spirit, there has to be a love for Christ. If there's no love for Christ, if there's no love for the gift of the cross, then what we are doing here really is a formality. But as I've always said, this formality is not neutral. It will indict us. It will condemn us. Because what we handle here is truly a matter of life and death. So brothers and sisters, we, along with St. Paul, have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this must never be understood as our loss of person, our loss of who we are. On the contrary, it is no longer I who live, it is no longer the I of the old life, the life wed to sin and death, that continues on. It is the new life. It is Christ who lives in me, and in Christ living in me, I have the opportunity to identify myself as one who is bound to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.